Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you The Seminarians, a dialogue with students from the Pontifical College Josephinum, produced by AM 820 to encourage and inspire vocations to the religious life. And now, The Seminarians.
Welcome to The Seminarians Show. I'm Alfonso Gomez from the Diocese of Charlotte. Joining me is my diocesan brother, Britt Taylor, also from the Diocese of Charlotte, and our classmate, PJ Brandon Marty from the Diocese of Columbus. Welcome,
Hello.
Guys.
Hey, Alfonso. PJ.
Hello.
Very good. So this episode is actually a continuation from a previous episode on vocations. So we're going to continue the conversation on vocations, discernment, and a little bit of our personal experiences in taking the decision to enter formation into the diocesan priesthood. But before we do any of that, Britt Taylor, if you could open us up with a prayer.
Sure. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all the graces and the blessings you have poured upon us and upon our lives, especially in regards to our vocations. We thank you for calling us in a special, unique way so that all of us may come to know, love, and serve you in a unique way that you have placed in our lives. We ask the intercession of your Blessed Mother as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace,
the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Britt. So, we started last episode speaking about what the Second Vatican Council calls the Universal Call of Holiness. And really, I think one of the points that we need to reiterate for our listeners is what holiness is, you know? Because I think a lot of people will say, don't do what makes you happy, do what makes you holy. Well, those two concepts aren't really mutually exclusive, wouldn't you guys say? That
not,
happiness and holiness are mutually exclusive?
No.
No?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say that joy and holiness.
Right.
Because happiness is one of those things where a lot can make us happy.
Sure.
And it's not necessarily good, but true joy is always from God.
I appreciate
that's how I found.
I appreciate that distinction.
You just hit all of his Dominican buttons with that one little. It's like you just read the Summa to him.
No, that is great because true joy comes from God, right? And I think that's what really the human heart is longing. Everyone on this face of the earth wants joy. No one wakes up in the morning and says, "How can I be miserable today?" Right?
In theory, at least.
At least in theory.
Well, I do, but I listened to way too much emo music in the late 90s and early 2000s, so.
Very good. So,
casually brushing over that.
Yep.
So everyone desires joy, and if joy and holiness are, you know, correlative, if they come together, then really everyone desires holiness in a certain sense. What do you guys say?
Absolutely. They just... Maybe not they're not thinking about it in those terms. They're thinking happiness is a new car or a new
right.
house or a boat or my favorite football team winning or something. Mm-hmm. Their sense of happiness is what the world is telling them, and it's very much pointed into material possessions. We live in a very, especially here in America, materially focused society that mm-hmm. you have to have the newest iPhone, you have to have the newest smartphone, you have to have the newest watch,
sure.
all these things. Whereas happiness, as you were saying, really comes from God, and it's just knowing him and loving him, that relationship, developing that and trying to deepen it as much as you humanly can.
Right. And that happiness, you said that happiness comes from God. And I think that ultimate happiness, wouldn't you guys say that resides in God? Like we will be in that state of ultimate happiness when we're with God.
Right.
And only those who are with God are the saints.
Mm-hmm. No, I was literally just about to say that.
Yeah.
The Second Vatican Council documents, especially the ones about vocations and the universal call to holiness, is so beautiful because holiness is not some inaccessible thing. God is not he's not here to play gotcha games with us.
Mm-hmm.
If holiness was inaccessible, then it wouldn't be required of us.
Mm-hmm.
But it is because we can have it. It's the same thing. I would hazard to say everybody desires heaven, but not everybody desires sainthood. Like we think of the saints as we think of these, we think of the saints as canonized saints, these ultra holy people who are just so like, I could never be like Mother Teresa, She just had this beautiful soul mm-hmm. and this beautiful mind and her just this most pure desire to help other people that I lack mm-hmm. and I know I lack it. And I know in my heart that I'm not like her. Mm. And she's a saint, but she's in heaven and I want to be in heaven. And I think there's this disconnect, especially as Catholics sometimes, where we don't think, like, who's in heaven? Well, the only people who are in heaven are saints.
That's right.
Everybody in heaven is a saint. Mm-hmm. So sainthood, likewise, is not this inaccessible thing. Mm-hmm. We think of saints as just the canonized saints. That's it. But everybody who is in heaven is a saint. And there are, God willing, there are a ton more non-canonized saints in heaven than there are canonized. Canonized saints only means that we know 100% these people are in heaven.
Right.
The church has no doubt that these people are with God in eternity. Mm-hmm. But I think sometimes we look at the saints and they're inaccessible, and that's not the case. Sainthood is very accessible. Sainthood mm-hmm. is holiness. And that's what these documents of the Vatican Council, specifically about vocations, are about. They're mm-hmm. about finding your path to holiness. Everybody has a path, mm-hmm. and that's what your vocation is.
Which I really love what you said. I mean, you said, I'm not like Mother Teresa. In a certain sense, you're not supposed to be, because you're supposed to be like P.J. Brandomarty, you know?
I know, that's as frightening for everybody in the studio to hear as it is for me.
So in a certain sense, you're supposed to be Saint P.J. Brandomarty. That's who you're called to be. You're not called to be Saint Mother Teresa. You're called to be Saint P.J. Brandomarty, which I think is a very important point, that each person needs to, with their own uniqueness and the skills and talents that God gave them, to pursue holiness in their particular, you know.
No, absolutely. Mission. And mm-hmm. what does holiness look like for me? Because it may look like holiness for you, mm-hmm. or for Britt, or for any number of other people, or it may not. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the important part about vocational discernment,
right?
Is that God, it's been my general observation, at least in my life, and correct me if I'm wrong, but God will oftentimes allow you to choose your vocation. Mm-hmm. I feel like I could have just as easily chosen a married vocation or a religious vocation, and please God just as much as if I'd have chosen the vocation I have chosen, which is, God willing, to be a ordained priest. And I could fulfill a path to holiness through each one, but ideally the path that I'm on is going to be the path that leads me to holiness.
Mm-hmm. The easiest path.
The easiest path, yeah.
Because right. I remember saying, back when we were in First Theology, I was blessed to have my first niece was born, and I remember playing with her, and it was providing all sorts of joy and happiness, but at the end of the day, it was exhausting to play with this 1 or 2 year old, and Uncle Britt, color, Uncle Britt, do this, and it just got to the point where I had to say, I was like, no, Uncle Britt, sleep. That's what I'm going to go do. And I talked to Father Oxley about that, and he was saying, it's because that's not your vocation. They draw energy from having kids and spending their life together and doing that, whereas we're called to do something else. And that's where, so I could be holy if I had a wife and kids, but it might be harder. It might take more out of me. And that's where your personal vocation comes in, because it's easier and it's because it's what God's calling you to do.
You're listening to the Seminarians Show on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. You can hear this show every Tuesday at noon and Sunday at 1 p.m. and in the audio archives at stgabrielradio.com. I'm Alfonso Gomez from the Diocese of Charlotte. Joining me is Britt Taylor from the Diocese of Charlotte and P.J. Brandomarty from the Diocese of Columbus, and we are talking about discernment. Welcome, guys. Welcome back.
So what is discernment?
Discernment.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good point, because a lot of people have different people are perspectives on discernment, what they think discernment is all about. I mean, I can speak from my experience what discernment is.
Sure.
So basically, my philosophy is that this is Alfonso Gomez's philosophy, but my philosophy is that if you have a specific desire, a holy specific desire placed in your heart, and the discernment process is you try to see if the boot fits, and if the boot does not fit, then you know that that's not for you.
Right.
But if you enter into wholeheartedly into this formation, whether that be dating, or if that be seminary formation or religious life or the single life, and you find that you're flourishing and actually growing in holiness, and you're just growing as a person in sainthood, then I think you've found your vocation. I think that's mm-hmm. That's a really good sign of that you're called to that specific vocation.
Right. And one of those things when you're trying on the proverbial boot or whatever scenario you're in, whether you're doing a come and see weekend at a seminary, or you're actually a seminarian, or you're going to a religious community, or you're dating, ultimately, this should be a sense of discernment, mm-hmm. And in a sense where you are trying to see, as PJ mentioned in the previous show, is this a potential match to be married?
Right.
And something that always pervades me when I was discerning something was, is there peace? Is there a sense of calm and a sense of tranquility, and as if this is coming from somewhere else? This isn't just, oh yeah, I could see myself being a tax accountant, a CPA, and or a forensic something or other.
Sure.
And it's not just, I was slid a note from my previous comment about with playing with my knees. Maybe I'm just lazy.
Maybe.
Yeah. Which is some of my formators or professors throughout my years, I'm sure, would concur with this note card that was slid to me. But is there this sense of peace when I'm with my knees? And there is, but then when I'm trying to nap and she's jumping on me, there's not really that sense of peace. And not that my brother would say that there is either. In fact, I've got a number of text messages that would point to the contrary on that. But is there this sense that I'm in the right place and you're calm and you feel like you're in your natural element? That, mm-hmm. to me, was really one of the signs that pointed to me, yeah, you're supposed to be here. Because I remember unpacking all my stuff, moving into seminary, and being like, oh my gosh, what am I doing here? And I just looked in the mirror for 5-10 minutes. And I took solace because a priest from our diocese said, if you think that, you're probably in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took that and then just kind of ran with it throughout seminary formation, where while there was ups and downs, there's always these anxieties, these stumbling blocks. There always came back to me picturing myself in the role of a priest, not just, and there's different things for the priest, and same with marriage and with every vocation. It's not just this one thing, but can I picture myself doing this? And when I'm picturing that, am I peaceful?
Mm-hmm.
That was really one of the things that truly solidified my discernment, I think.
You know, I'm really glad you brought up that notion of peace, because I heard a really great commentary about discernment and peace once from a priest from our diocese, from the Diocese of Charlotte. And he was talking about when our Lord says, not as the world gives you peace, but the peace mm-hmm. I give you, there's a difference. And he explained how if you are, for example, standing outside of a house and you see that the house is on fire and your friend is in there, and you know you have to go in there and rescue your friend, you have this calling in a sense,
right,
to do this, but then the firefighters show up and kind of, you know, take you off
and you just run
and you run the opposite direction, you know, you are in a sense, you in a sense have peace because they arrived and you no longer have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying that is kind of like the peace the world gives. It's a more human way of thinking of peace. But the peace the Lord gives you is that you know you have to do this. You know you have to go in there and rescue your friend. And that peace allows you to be able to go in there and do that. And I think that's exactly what you were saying, that it just, you know, you have that peace and you're in your game, you're in your element while you're pursuing this vocation. And it allows you to do the difficult things that come day after day.
Now, just a quick disclaimer, Catholic AM 820 is not advising anyone to run into burning buildings to save people.
That is right.
This is just a metaphor for discernment.
Here.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. No, very good. And so I think us three here, you know, we know every vocation by the fact that it's a good and holy vocation. Everything that's good and holy comes with difficulty and sacrifices. I'm sure all three of us have experienced that sense of peace that allows us to persevere through those difficult moments.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And the interesting thing about the vocational states of life that we talk about is that ideally we're sacrificing, even though we may be, like, I absolutely feel called to the priesthood, but at the same time, I also feel a legitimate sacrifice in not getting married.
Right.
And I've talked about this before. I like to use an analogy. When I was younger, when I was in high school, all through middle school and high school, all I wanted to do was be a naval officer. Mm-hmm. That's all I ever wanted. My ambition was to just be on a destroyer. I thought that was the coolest thing in the world. That's all I've ever wanted. That is never going to happen. It's just not. It's out of the, like, even at this point, if I were to join the Navy today, I could never be a naval officer. I do not meet the requirements. I'm too old. It's just not going to happen. That doesn't change that I still feel some longing for it. Mm-hmm. And it's the same way. I am completely and totally confirmed in my life that I've made the right choice to be a celibate man serving in the ministry of the church for the sake of the kingdom and the people of God.
Mm-hmm.
That does not change the fact that I miss having the companionship and the love of another person that comes with being married. However, there's a healthy response to that, and the healthy response is to direct that love toward loving others and toward loving the people of God that I've been assigned to serve, and to find that companionship in Christ, mm-hmm. to find it in prayer, to find it in my friends and in my family, and not to long for it in a way of look what I can't have, but to realize look at all the great things I have instead.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I desire this, I don't long for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a difference.
You know, both of you brought up, they have used the word longing and desire. And actually, St. Thomas, he says that if...
Here's the Dominicans.
If God places a good and holy desire for you, and if he does that, it's so that it can be fulfilled and satisfied. God does not give you a good and holy desire for it to be just be stifled. So it's up to us to really investigate that. It's a sense of justice, I think, for you owe it to yourself to investigate, you know, this good and holy desire that God has placed upon your heart. And at least in my experience, I had help by priests who mm-hmm. also went through this. So could you guys speak about that? Like, you know, what was your interaction with priests during this discernment process?
Absolutely. I remember when I was first really vocalizing this outside of just my immediate family, there was a priest who actually eventually became one of my summer assignment pastors, my first one, who I talked to, Father Pat Cahill, down in the Diocese of Charlotte, just about, I'm thinking about this and getting his idea. And it's just a great bouncing board where you can just say, this is what I'm thinking. And then they'll ask you some questions about, okay, well, what's it look like? And then really any concerns you have, mm-hmm. anything that you want to ask about seminary formation or what's the life of a priest like, they're there to where you can go in and really just... and focus and have this bouncing, spiritual bouncing board to get a better idea of the picture of the priesthood, to where you're not just going in there with this, oh yeah, this great idea in my mind seems all well and good, but
right.
then you get in and you realize the picture you had in your mind that you were trying to say yes to was completely false.
Yeah.
And wasn't what the priesthood is at all.
Sure.
It's not just working weekends as I once thought.
I think we're going back to that point if you may be lazy.
Yeah. Again, it does circle around this one note card.
No, it does.
Wait, it's not just working weekends?
No, it's, I hate to break it to you, PJ. It is not just weekends.
I have wasted 6 years of my life. I'm out.
No,
it
I'm,
is.
I'm, just kidding. Totally just kidding.
Sometimes on Mondays is what I'm told.
No, I just as a side note, I have been absolutely shocked because I, like so many people, grew up Catholic, just thinking that priests just, they do the mass thing on Sunday and then that's it. And when I was little, I used to have this image of Father going to the Giant Eagle and, just in his vestments, picking out lunch, and that was it. That was the day. I have been absolutely shocked to see how much work goes into the priesthood in my assignments. They are,
mm-hmm.
it's like being a firefighter. like, you're always on call and there's always a ton of paperwork, and you might not, like, at that moment be doing anything that's, like, life and death vital, but, man, when you get that phone call at 2 o'clock in the morning, you're up and you're out, mm-hmm. and there's no sleeping in, there's no snoozing, mm-hmm. there's no days off for that. You're always on call.
Yeah.
But back to what Alfonso was saying, I have to give credit where credit's due. Shout out to Father Nick Droll down there in Scioto County.
He's an alum of this program, isn't he?
Yes, yeah. He is.
Not of this program. Just kidding. That's a lie. ignore that. I didn't say anything.
But Father Droll was a transitional deacon at my parish, St. Matthew's in Gahanna. This is years ago. I want to say 2010 or 2011. He was a transitional deacon, and he's the one who told me that I should think about discerning. This is before he knew I had previously discerned the priesthood. And from there, we had a little bit of a pastor change at St. Matthew's in Gahanna. Our old pastor, Father Paul Noble, left and became the current vocations director. And our new pastor, Father Ted Sill, came in, and he was a former vocations director, so I was trapped. I was just surrounded.
You had no help. No hope.
So if you don't know the lingo, vocations director is like priest recruiter, essentially. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I was trapped on all sides. I was like that kid at the mall who picked up one of those shiny Marine Corps bumper stickers and was just immediately descended on by four gunnery sergeants. Like, hey, sign okay. this. Okay.
I was worried where he was going with that one.
You know, as you guys were talking about how maybe your expectation of just working on the weekends has been
shattered.
You know, shattered. Beyond shattered.
When reality doesn't meet expectations, did you guys have experienced, once you said yes to the Lord, experience any doubts, you know, going, you know, through formation?
Oh, absolutely. There was, in the first year of theology, there was really I don't want to say crisis. I think that puts too much
right.
effort on it. But that was the watershed moment where you really had to sit there and think, okay, now I'm not just in the pre-theology, the philosophy studies where you can kind of jump out at any moment. You're in the theological, the major studies to really, I mean, now it's preparing for the priesthood. Mm-hmm. And it was really one of those moments where I had to sit there and think, do I really want to keep going forward with this? Is this what I think the Lord is calling me to do? And mm-hmm. through spiritual direction, through a lot of prayer, really, yeah, it solidified it. But it was very much a difficult moment where you really had to commit to it again. And each day, every vocation, you have to wake up and you have to commit yourself to it each day again. Right. It's not just, all right, well, here I am at the altar with this woman. I'm going to get married now, and this mm-hmm. is going to be enough for the rest of our lives. No, you have to recommit yourself each day. And it's the same thing with the priesthood. Yeah. I can very easily wake up and not do the priesthood things that were required, the liturgy of the hours and celebrating mass.
Sure.
Again, this is all in the future, but I could wake up and just not do those. No, you have to recommit yourself. This is something that you work on, because holiness is something that you have to work on.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point, because when you say yes to the Lord, when you say yes to follow Him, it's not just saying yes once. It's saying yes every day. From here mm-hmm. on out. And so I think that's it's a really great advice for anyone out there who's discerning, that it is a commitment, it's a life commitment, which I think our society kind of shuns, you know, those kinds of commitments. That's why
absolutely.
I think the vocational life, be it to any of the three vocations, is somewhat countercultural. And PJ, do you have anything to add to this conversation?
Yeah, so there were two, maybe three, maybe five, major...
27.
Yeah, lots of self-doubt, because sure. as we talked about before, when I came to seminary, I came in a position where what I left was not going to be easy to get back. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys, they come in straight out of high school, or they come in straight out of college. They haven't started it, or they've only had 1 or 2 years in their career. So I was initially three main things. One, my first couple years was, am I going to be able to get my job back if this doesn't work out? The next major thing was when we put on our clerical clothes for the first time, because in pre-theology we wear street clothes, but in the graduate studies, theology, we actually wear the collar or the cassock, what we wear, what priests wear. It was incredibly humbling. And it was incredibly like, is this what I'm called to do? And thankfully, the answer so far has been yes. And finally, just watching my friends get married, that just is a constant. Initially, it was hard, but now it's a constant confirming of this is what I should be doing. Because when I watch them get married, I see myself not as the person marrying, but I see myself in the role of the priest who is witnessing these two people uniting themselves together in the church for the glory of God.
Very good, PJ. Well, we like to wrap up this show just, you know, inviting the listeners out there. If you're discerning, we hope this has served as great advice for you to investigate the desires of your heart and to seek out help. You know, we've all had help from people that have experienced discernment and have found their vocations. And so, you know, be assured of our prayers, and we ask for your prayers as well. And we're going to close off with a prayer led by PJ. Thank you, PJ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, you call each of us through your universal call to holiness to discover the path that you desire for our lives, that we may come and see you. Lord, we all desire to be saints. Show us the path that will allow us, using our own gifts that you have most generously given us, to fulfill that desire that you have, to unite us all to you in heaven forever. We ask this as we ask all good things through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen. In
the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, PJ. And thank you for joining us for today's Seminarian Show. You can hear this show every Tuesday at noon and Sunday at 1 p.m. in the audio archives at stgabrielradio.com. Thank you and God bless.
The Seminarians is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of the Seminarians and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com. Veni Sancti.